This is Small Business Big World, our weekly podcast prepared by the team at Paper Trails. Owning and running a small business is hard. Each week, we'll dive into the challenges, headaches, trends, fun, and excitement of running a small business. After all, small businesses are the heartbeat of America, and our team is here to keep them beating. Welcome to Small Business Big World, our weekly podcast discussing all things small business. So today, I have Scott McNeff with me. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you.
Got an interesting topic today, kind of employing team workers, right? And empowering them, engaging them, and all that stuff. So certainly in our area, that's very prevalent. So that's certainly a great topic. So a little housekeeping before we get going. So certainly remember to like, follow, share, subscribe, rate, review, all of those fun things everywhere that you listen to podcasts. We're everywhere. Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and at smallbusinessbigworld.com. Certainly also remember, if you have any questions for us, for Scott, for any of our guests, feel free to email us podcast@papertrails.com. So Scott, you run an ice cream business.
Yes.
Which is the quintessential main summer business, right?
Yeah.
Right. You get to work a couple months a year. I know it's more than just a couple months a year, but
right.
But your labor force is largely high school and college kids, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so, you know, how did you, you know, first of all, I guess, how do you find these kids? What's your, you know, kind of ethos in running the business, keeping things organized and getting the season going and up and running and then losing the kids and all that kind of
right,
stuff?
Right. Well, that's such a well-timed question because here we are in March and I've already begun planning the coming summer season. My father and his sister started the business in 1983 and I worked there all through high school and college during the summer months and was a part of the business. I've largely basically kept in line with what my dad always used to do. It was a much smaller business back then, of course, and I think the summer he hired me first was 1992, was my first summer there, and I think it was one of maybe 7 or 8 employees total, and now we have more than 40 every summer.
Yep.
So it's grown a lot, and obviously we need more employees than we did back then. But, you know, back then he kind of was just looking for, like, local kids that were from good families, that were smart, you know, kids on the honor roll.
Sure.
And that's a big part of the recipe that I'm still using. I mean, mm-hmm. There's more to it than that. But yeah, so right now I'm going through, you know, building up the schedule for the coming season so that all the returning employees from last summer know exactly what their schedule will look like throughout the whole summer. And that will let me know how many gaps I've got in that schedule so that I can, decide how many new hires to bring in.
So just getting ready for the season, just like any other business, right? You're planning and scheduling and so forth. But your workforce is unique, and certainly one of the things with your business, your season's pretty short, right? You're a little before Memorial Day. Yeah, a little before Memorial Day to a little after Labor Day, right? Not too long.
Yep.
But with particularly the labor force you're hiring, school comes into play, labor laws come into play.
Yep.
So all those things, I mean, how do you handle that, right? How do you handle before school's out and when school's back in and college kids leaving in the middle of August?
Yeah, absolutely. The beginning is easy because, of course, around here, you know, we're open, as you said, we open the Friday of Memorial Day weekend every year, so the very end of May. June is a slower month compared to July and August, of course. And right from the get-go, I'm in good shape because I have so many employees who are returning from the previous year that are college age and they're already home.
Perfect.
So early season, no problem. When late August hits and school sports start up and students, college-age students, now have to go back to their respective universities, that's when it's rough.
When it gets tight.
Yep. And that plays into my hiring. I always try each year to hire some the new ones that I'm bringing on. I really, really covet smart local high school kids that don't do a fall sport. I mean.
Well, that's a great way. That's a needle in a haystack, right?
Especially these days. Yeah.
You know, I think we've heard from a lot of our clients that, you know, certainly since I was in high school and probably since you were in high school, I stopped playing football because I wanted to work, right? And nowadays, you know, I think everyone is so focused on the college experience and I have to get this extracurricular and that, you know, athletic thing and this and that to get into college, and it's so much different now. And so it's certainly, you know, to try to find those, you know, local kids that are on the honor roll, whatever, that good formula is probably more difficult today than it ever has been.
It is, yeah. And because we're open so late into the evening, of course, you know, if you're under 16 years of age, you can't work until our closing time. So I can only afford really to have just a handful of, you know, 15-year-olds in there on any given summer. It's fun to bring them on when they're that young because normally they'll stick with me for, you know, 7, 8, 9 years in a row, which is great. But they're... only really of use during daytime hours.
Right. And you, I mean, I've driven by, there's a line, you guys close about 10 o'clock. There's still a line at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Some nights in July, right?
Totally. So, yeah. Nighttime is when it really goes. And I have, you know, last summer I had 13 or 14 employees in there every night plus myself. So there's, you know, 14 or 15 people needed every single night, 7 days a week. So I need quite a few members of staff that are 16 or older.
Right. Right. To manage those labor laws. And certainly, you know, you're in Wells, so it's a little, your school calendar is a little different and maybe your students are a little different. Here in Kennebunk, we've been having the perennial conversation about starting school after Labor Day because that impacts the labor market and when these kids can work and when they can't work.
That'd be amazing.
And so school board meeting last week, we're lobbying for it. We're working on it. So hopefully, I think the school board's going to hopefully make some changes.
Yeah, in a tourist area like this, man, that would be
huge. It makes a huge difference to the small business, just like yours, which is great. So,
and I always wish, like with the high, again, with the high school sports, not to keep bragging on that because I did sports all through high school as well, but I always wish that the practices wouldn't start until school was in session.
Right.
It's like, come on, why are you pulling these kids? Like the local businesses need these young people so desperately. And they're being asked to go to practice every afternoon, every, you know, 6 days out.
It's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot. It is a lot. So speaking of that, right? So you're looking for the good kids. You're looking for, you know, folks that want to go somewhere in life. They don't want to be ice cream scoopers forever, right? This is a career.
Right.
But, you know, your real passion is really working with these kids and developing them and helping them find that passion, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what does that look like? I know I've seen the pictures. I've seen you goofing around and having a great time. Yeah. You want to create a positive work environment, which is great as an employer, but it's more than that, right?
It is. That's totally, it's funny. You know, before my dad called me back home to sort of help him run the business, I was finishing a master's in education over in Vermont with a plan to be a high school biology teacher. And when he said, hey, man, I'm kind of getting old. I'd like to retire. Is this something you're interested in? I thought, man, this would be a really nice way to work with young adults. And I was sort of interested in it. And I knew that he'd grown it into a successful business. And I was already a little tired of politics of public education and parents and administrators and whatnot. So,
and that was how long ago? I mean, it's worse now.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and in fact, in the late 90s, I taught sex ed in the state of Ohio for a couple of years and loved doing it. But even then, you know, the politics of stuff was kind of a grind at times. So anyway, I just came home basically because I loved the business. I'd had a lot of experience in it. I wanted to help my dad and try it out. And over the first few years of, I think I came home in 2006, and those first few summers doing it shoulder to shoulder with him, I really realized that working with young people was, in fact, my dharma in life. And I was like, man, this is totally what I want, because I'm really enthused with young adults for so many reasons. I find them so dynamic. It's such an amazing time of a young person's life. But what I realized in running a seasonal business here is that I get the same employees year after year after year after year. And we can be shoulder to shoulder working with one another and talking about any number of things. And I watch these people grow up and turn into young adults and go off into the world for, you know, big boy, big girl jobs, whatever it may be. And by then I've really developed a really great relationship. And I find it super, super rewarding in a way that I wouldn't have had access to had I just been teaching. And, you know, you've got the kids in your classroom for a year and they're off and you probably maybe never see them again. So it was sort of accidental, and I don't know why I didn't have the foresight to see that that's what I was walking into. But all of a sudden I found myself having a career path that gave me the chance to do what brings me so much meaning and really happiness in life. I mean, I it's so funny because I'm just not like I always say I'm like a blue collar Irish kid. I kind of want to punch in, punch out, get my paycheck. I'm not very entrepreneurially minded. I don't take
particular. Your wife says so too.
Yeah, exactly. It's true.
She goes, I'm over here running the business. Yeah. Scott's goofing around with the kids.
Yeah, it's so true, man. My wife and my first cousin, I have a young cousin named Marina who manages the business with us. The three of us are our sort of management team, and we all do different parts. And thank goodness my wife is extremely hardworking. She's actually the hardest working individual I've ever met in my life. And she takes a lot of pride in being entrepreneurial and being a business owner. I don't define myself. I don't really care. I don't really care about, you know, ice cream. I don't really care about tourists, kids, you know, little kids. But like young adults, man, that's my passion. And I'm like, wow, I get to make a living running this seasonal small business and really use the business as a cover for what I've got going on behind the scenes, trying to make meaning in my life and theirs and open doors for young adults and elevate them. And
that's really cool. I mean, you've taken this business and you've built a culture that is great for the employees, but it's really fulfilling to you, right?
Totally.
There's so many business owners that just grind through every day, right?
And,
get it done.
Yep.
But you found a real passion, which
I love it. I love going to work. And I mean, it's exhausting because we don't take a single day off. My wife and I work every single day all season, and it's long hours, and I do get tired, but I genuinely love it, and I look forward to being around those kids. And then at the end of the season, when we close, it's almost like I have this really hard transition. It's almost a mild depression of like, man, my crew's around me.
Well, you're on for 4 months.
Yeah.
Right? You're on every day, all day for four months, and then, it's over, right?
Yeah.
Like that retirement. Like people all of a sudden, they just...
Yeah.
They close the door. They walk out the door on the last day of work and then they retire. And now what do I do?
Totally. I'm worried about retiring, man. I really am. I'm like, I need to figure out a way that after we, the plan is to transition the business to my cousin Marina that I just mentioned. And when I'm out of that business, I need to figure out a way to still have access to young adults.
Yeah.
So that I can, keep sort of trying to do what I'm doing.
That's really cool. So what do you feel? So obviously culture is important in mm-hmm. every business. We all have them. We all have a mm-hmm. different work life. We all have a different, we have a different feeling in our business, right? How would you describe the feeling at Scoop Tech when the employees walk in, when the kids walk in, is it fun? What are you really looking to accomplish every day when they walk in?
Yep.
What's it look like?
So we're hectic and we get big lines. We do a big volume. We're busy, but we're always just side by side and working and scooping next to one another. And there's all these conversations going on, between handing over cones to customers. And so it's super social. And I think if you spoke with any of my employees and said, what kind of culture goes on inside of that barn when you get into that old 200-year-old horse barn and you join your coworkers, what's the feel in there? And I think I've made it very clear to all of them. I think all of them would say like, oh man, Scott really pushes hard to like, we're all a community. We're all incredibly respectful to one another. We may not absolutely love every single other 40 plus member of staff and want to spend time outside of work with all of them, but there's a ton of that going on. If they're not at work, they're with coworkers doing something, which is great. I mean, we all did that with our high school jobs when we were young, but the whole thing is that there's a real philosophy that like what's going on in that barn is that every single employee knows that they're valued, they're respected, they're admired, they're truly cared for. They all know that I love them and care about them. And I think about what they're doing when they're not at work. We talk a lot about what their passions and interests are. And they know that I want them to feel comfortable in trusting, safe relationships with their peers, so they can be themselves without any fear of admonishment and be loved for who they are. And I know it sounds like, happy, joy.
I'm sure there's some not so happy times,
but,
right?
Well, yeah.
You have 40 people running around. It's, there's bound to be some issues, right?
But that's beautiful too. I mean, the hard times, like, last summer, one of our employees had to euthanize his the dog that he'd grown up with his whole life. And he was getting loves and hugs from coworkers. I mean, bad stuff happens. Grandparents die, things, life throws crap at all of us all the time, right? So, and even those hard times create moments where we can, lean on one another a little bit and grow together. And I just want, it's funny, when I was really, really young, I got into the, when I was a teenager, I was 13, 14, I decided I was going to be a falconer for the rest of my life. And I had to go through a 2-year apprenticeship period under a master falconer here in Maine. And luckily I was apprenticed by the guy who's now my best friend in the world. He lives here in Kennebunk. And I really basically became a part of his family at that young age. And I was, a high school student and I had a good family at home, but I also had his family that I was sort of a part of. And opening that up, it's the whole like, it takes a tribe to raising a young adult kind of thing. His family really opened my eyes to such an extent that over the years as an adult, I kept looking back on what that did for me. And it was as significant and in many ways more powerful than the experience of, my undergraduate college years and some international travel that I did when I was younger. And I thought, man, that is what young adults need. Kids need adults in their life who are in their inner circle, who they know that they can rely on and count on, that truly care about them, that they can go to and talk about stuff that maybe they don't want to talk to their immediate parents.
Sure.
Or maybe they don't have a particularly great
home life.
You know, something bad's going on there, and they can come to work and feel really safe and really embraced by their peers and their boss.
Yeah, which is awesome. So, you know, that's all incredible, right? And I think one of the things that I hear from a lot of employers is nowadays, because there's such that focus on getting through high school, getting great grades, being in all the extracurriculars, doing the sports, doing that stuff. Then you get to college. Then it's, again, grades. And then a lot of times, you know, kids may have never worked, right?
Yeah.
So they get into the quote unquote real world, right? They have their first big boy, big girl job, whatever. Yep. And they don't know how to work. They don't know how to interact. They don't know how to, you know, they don't know how to be a good employee. And
yep.
I think, and that's not to say that maybe a terrible analogy. They don't want to be a good employee, but they just, you know, they've never been in that in that experience before. So it sounds like what you're doing is not only developing, you know, the social piece, but also the work piece, right? I mean,
absolutely.
I know you push hard because I've seen the lines, right?
Yeah.
You got to work hard.
Yeah.
You're going to work at the Scoop Deck. You got to be a hard worker, right?
Yep.
And I think that that's, you know, that instills some values in folks, which is really cool.
And, you know, I'm sure, you know, you've probably been a part of similar teams where it's not just me. I'm not like some big bad boss in there cracking the whip, pushing them hard. It's every peer too.
Yeah.
They all have expectations on one another. It truly is a team situation, and it's and what I try to make it always be is like, hey, a rising tide floats all boats, and we're all in here. You know, you can't afford to be over there slacking,
right?
Because look at her. They're all looking at you like, come on, pick it up.
Yeah.
You know,
your line's longer than all ours. What's going on?
They all care about one another so much, and they all, you know, I just love it, man. I mean, I've been working really hard for years to try to cultivate that kind of community inside the walls of our business. And I have to say, I get more excited and more proud and I take more happiness from seeing our longtime employees sort of elevate and hold up, you know,
and grow, yeah.
their peers, you know.
I'm sure you see them around town after they've left you,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
They're successful and things are wonderful.
I know. And that's another big, you know, I get a lot of joy every summer too, because I get visited by innumerable previous employees that have grown up and they're out there in the world, or they've get married and they have kids.
They're bringing their kids in.
They're still coming
right?
in and they want to visit with me. And almost always it's really funny because, you know, in many cases it was their first job that they ever had. Now they're out in the real world with a 9-to-5, you know, around 12 months out of the year. And almost always past employees, when we're visiting and they're coming in, introducing their spouses to me, they're like, man, this was the best job I ever had.
That's really cool.
I wish I could have just kept doing this.
Well, if you say, sure, come on back, right?
Yeah, if only we could, you know.
You can work till 10, right? You're old enough now, right?
Yeah, really. If we were a 12-month out of the year, you know, situation, yeah, we'd have a killer crew. I mean, I have a killer crew already as it is. I'm so lucky, and I know that I'm super lucky. I've just went through a vast amount of applications. I mean, I think because word travels, right? These kids know that we care about them. We take really good care of them. We do all sorts of extra stuff for them. Every single day, every day, this is like one of my practices in the morning. I'm having my tea and I go through, I have a wall in my art studio. I paint every morning and I have my staff listed in order of seniority. And I'm looking at the list thinking like, it's been a while since I've helped so-and-so, or what could I do for them? Or who could I introduce to them? And, you know, because I'm older, of course, and I have a lot of connections all around the community, it's like, oh, she wants to be an interior designer. I'm going to hook her up with Nikki Bongiorno and see if Nikki will
that's really cool.
You know, I've done a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah.
Trying to open doors and make connections to kind of guide them into their desired, you know, field of whatever they want to end up doing. But I love that part of it so much. And I forget, running off at the mouth, I forget where I was going with that. But
you're going outside the box, right? And I think, you know, one of the things you just mentioned was that you went through a stack of applications, right? And
right.
So I hear all the time, I can't find anybody, right? And that's a community-wide issue, but there are certain employers that don't have that issue. And I think it comes back to that culture, and because word travels, right? I mean, I know, you know, you don't put anything out. Maybe Emily puts one thing on Facebook and you might get 50 applications because, like you said, everyone knows, right? And that's a really huge thing in terms of attracting talent and attracting, you know, employees, which is really important. We all have to, I mean, I kind of consider myself in that bucket. I put an ad out for an assistant, which is not a glamorous job. I need some help around the office.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, within 4 days, I had 68 applications.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I was, like you said, overwhelmed by the response. Yep. And I think, you know, and I hear from clients, I'm like, well, I put something out and I don't get anything. Well, okay, why? What are you doing? What aren't you doing? What, you know, what should you be doing as an employer to attract that help, right?
Yep.
It really comes down to that culture, which sounds like you've got it figured out.
Oh, absolutely. My dad used to always say, and you hit on exactly where I was going previously. It's that idea of like, the kids are at school all the time. I've got kids from the Berwicks and Wells and Kennebunk mostly, and they're all talking during the school year. Yep. What'd you do this summer and what was it like there? So, you know, I think that's the reason why I have so many applicants to choose from every year. And, you know, my dad always used to say when people would talk with him about the business, well, one plus is ice cream is a fun business. You know, you're handing them something and you're putting a smile on their face. So that's nice. But the other really important thing is every single cone that walks out of Scoop Deck had to be scooped by a living, breathing, you know, human arm.
Yeah.
Right. So our employees are absolutely our biggest asset. I mean, yes, the product quality has to be good and the price has to be reasonable. That's a given. That got all figured out a long time ago. But, you know, really, my employees mean absolutely everything to me.
Yeah.
And not just because they're you know, they're grinding it out and bringing in the dollars, but they, you know, they know that I genuinely care about them too. You know.
Yeah. So, you know, we talked about the hiring piece and the culture piece, which is obviously incredible. But what are you doing, any training or anything? I mean, is it just people are learning because we're learning by doing, right? I mean, I'm reading a book by Horst Schultz, who's the founder of Ritz-Carlton right now. It's all about service excellence and all that kind of stuff. And you said it's the people, right? It's the people that make the difference. The expectation is it's a good quality product at the right price.
Yes.
And, you know, there's no defects. That's the, you know, what this, you know, Horst Schultz talks about in his book, but it's really the people.
Yep.
What are you doing to develop that's the team in the social skills and the service and the respect and so
right
with the guests?
Right. I think, well, a lot of that, I think, really honestly comes pretty naturally because we you know, it's been so many years now that I've been leaning pretty heavily on my current existing employees to recommend their friends and in many cases their younger siblings to join our team. And they know what's expected and what it's like to work there. And they wouldn't stick their neck out for a friend who they didn't think was going to do a good job. So I'm already getting, you know, sort of
qualified.
Yeah.
Qualified,
really great people coming in, you know. And in most cases, man, they pick it up so quickly. And the other really cool thing is, for many, many years, my dad, on any new employee's first shift, my dad would bring them in and drag them around the shop for like 3 hours and tell them every little detail. And he would hand train everybody, which was great. I did that as well for a while. And I got so sick of it, honestly. And I also didn't want to a young, particularly a, you know, a 15-year-old kid that's their first job. I didn't want them to feel like, oh, man, this is my boss who's just like standing over me.
Yep.
Right next, you know, I just didn't want to put that heat under their collar sort of thing. So what I started doing years ago was picking, you know, I'd grab some really exemplary employee who's been there 6, 7, 8 years. And I'd say, hey, we got a new hire coming in tomorrow for their first shift. I would like you, would you be cool to train them? And you take them under your wing and you can do it however you want. You can start them off with scooping stuff. You can start them off with cash register stuff, whatever it is you want to do, but just have them shadow you for their first shift. And that's what we typically do for the first couple. And I just sort of stay hands off and keep back. I don't want any of them to feel like I'm, you know, putting them under a microscope. So, and that has just been awesome because then the older employee takes pride in the fact that I trust them and appreciate them enough to bring somebody on and show them how everything's done. And the younger employee, I think hopefully has an easier time going through that training process with someone who's maybe only 3 years older than them rather than working with the, you know, middle-aged white guy like me. You know.
Yeah, but you know, it's interesting. And then, okay, so you train them, and then how do you manage that, right? How do you manage the 15, 16, 17 year olds, you know, when, like you said, you know, they're twice their age, three times their age, right?
Yeah.
In some cases.
Yeah.
And, you know, so what does that look like? How do you deal with that day to day, right? Because I'm sure culturally there's things that you just don't get, they may be talking about, and,
yeah,
you know, just how do you manage that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that sort of stuff kind of comes naturally. I feel like once they've been around for a week or two, I mean, anyone that's new on a job is going to feel a little pressure at the beginning.
Sure.
But I think once they're in there for several shifts and they see they feel the community that's in there and they see how light people are and how much laughter and how much fun we're all genuinely having with one another, I think they're like, man, this is, I think they immediately really quickly go like, this is a safe place.
That's good.
I can ask, and I always tell people like, listen, asking questions is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. Okay. So don't try to do something if you don't know how to do it. Just ask because you're surrounded by, you got all these peers around you, everyone. And I always push on them too. Like, I want everyone in this shop to know how to do absolutely everything. Don't tell me you're not going to make a frap or an ice cream soda because you,
it's messy.
Cause well, you don't want to, you know? Yeah. It's like, no, you do, everyone does everything. And they all, I don't know. I think they all really appreciate that. And I don't know. I mean, and listen, I'm lucky too, because none of what we're doing is highly technical, right? I mean, and it is fun. And that's a big part of too. I mean, yeah, I have a good culture and we treat our employees really, really well and we can afford to pay them well, but it's fun. You know, I'm not saying like, hey, come wash dishes at a seafood place
sure.
all summer, you know, and sweat it out.
Right.
and go home stinky, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
I mean, so we have it's a fun summer job. We've had employees too, quite a few employees who were the children of people who had grown up scooping ice cream too. And I think their parents enjoyed it so much and felt nostalgic about it. So I think they probably nudged them like, hey, go.
That's really neat.
Go scoop it, you know. Yeah.
I know that's always been a challenge for me as a leader. Just so I have staff that's twice my age,
mm-hmm.
right? I have folks that are, you know, 10 years younger than me and, you know, trying to manage to all generations and trying to get everybody together and keep the team, you know, cohesive has been a real challenge for me as a leader. So I know, you know, it's interesting that you've tried to build that culture where it sounds like it's a kind of self-managed or co-managed where the team just kind of gets it and everyone works together, which is awesome.
So. Yeah, absolutely. It's so, you know, and I tell them too frequently, I tell the kids like, listen, you are here because you were recommended by so-and-so, or I talked to your, you know, history teacher at your high school because I knew everyone in town, you know, and you are here because you're an intelligent, bright individual, and I think you're going to make an impact on the world, and I trust you to have good judgment. So as long as you're being appropriate and you're using good judgment and you're giving the customer good service, I totally trust you. You know, and all the kids too. I know a lot of places, you know, are sort of like, what's that nonsense? The customer's always right.
No, they're not.
Garbage. Yeah. You know, all my kids know that. Every single one of my employees knows that I've got their back. And if they have some nasty altercation with somebody, they can simply turn their back on that person, walk straight to the side, because I'm there every day anyway, go grab me and say, Scott, you need to go to station 3. I'm done with this person. And yeah, the customer's not always right. They all know that. They all know. Basically, they know that if they're being appropriate and you exercising good judgment, I'm on their side every time.
I think that's huge. And I know with my team, we have the same, you know, ethos. I mean, if someone's, you know, I've had some clients, some very terrible things to my mm-hmm. team as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, afterwards, I have very politely said to them,
yep.
we're not the right person for you to do this. You know, have a nice day. Here's all your reports. Here's all your paperwork. You let us know where you're going and we'll help that person go, but we're not the right people for you anymore. And
absolutely.
I think that's really important. I mean, nobody comes to work to do a bad job, right?
Yep.
And, you know, everyone, I hope you're hiring, and I know, you know, we're looking for folks that are going to take care of our clients and care.
Yep.
And, you know, I think it's really important when, you know, when unfortunate situations have happened, which they do, you know, that we as, you know, as employers have their, mm-hmm. and that's really important to me too. So.
Yeah. And it is unfortunate that things do happen like that. I mean, you know, if we wait on, and I say this a lot too, at the end of the night when we're cleaning up, you know, the kids will want to decompress and gripe a little bit and someone will be mopping a floor and start complaining about someone who was miserable or said something inappropriate. And it's like, you know, and I'm like, you know, I'm cleaning down a surface and I go, hey, get it out of your system for a minute or two, okay? And then just remember, we waited on 2,000 people today and we only had 3 lousy customers. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Just 3.
Which I was, you know, it's funny. I was on vacation one time. We're at a resort and thinking, oh, this would be a great place to work. Everyone's happy, right? Everyone's coming here because they're on vacation, right?
Yeah.
Which is largely what your customer totally. Base is, right?
Yeah.
But it still amazes me the number of people that can just be miserable just for no reason usually, but... you know, it's hard. And I think that's the hardest part about service.
And I wish those things didn't happen, like the extreme examples like you just talked about. I mean, definitely there's been a handful of times over the years where I've followed someone out into the parking lot and just said, you're not allowed on this property ever again. I don't ever want to see you. You know, that sort of thing. And that sucks. But then when you go back in the building, when a case like that is really justified, the whole staff saw that happen.
And absolutely. Like, and that builds more trust.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, that builds more trust and builds that culture, and it's all that good stuff. So.
Yep.
Well, awesome. Well, we've covered a lot of ground today, Scott. I think we've, you know, it's a really cool, you're in a really cool business, which is, you know, I'm jealous because I have to work 12 months a year and you only have to quote unquote work for a few months a year, but I know it's a year round project, but, you know, I think it's a really interesting topic and again, dealing with the intergenerational stuff. So, you know, thank you very much for joining us today. Any last thoughts of anything that we didn't hit that you wanted to share with anybody or?
No, not necessarily. Yeah, no, it's fun. Okay. Yeah, it's just fun, man. I mean, we all, living in a community like this, so many people work seasonally. I mean, most of my closest friends that I, you know, have dinner parties with in the winter months, they're, you know, they have seasonal jobs just by virtue of where we live. And it's a grind when it's going on, but you got to have some fun, right?
Sure.
I mean, I just feel like so much of life is about meaning and purpose, and you got to find that. Obviously in your personal life, right? In your personal relationships. But man, you better be looking for it at work too.
Yeah, absolutely. Know? Absolutely. And that's what building the culture is all about, which is fun.
Yep.
I think that's should be the fun part about
kids. Yeah, community is everything, man. I just always say we all have to go to work. We all have to pay our bills, right? That's boring.
Sure.
So like, let's try to have fun while we're doing it because we spend so much time with one another,
yep.
You know? So like, let's enjoy one another and goof off and share some silly jokes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, good. So I know you're working really hard scooping the ice cream, but how do people get in touch with you or with Emily? Social media, you guys are on Instagram, you're on Facebook.
We are, yep.
At Scoop Deck, is it just Scoop Deck Maine?
Or yep. So. Yep. And and our website's scoopdeck.com.
If you're looking for after school work or any work really, right?
Yeah.
Go over there, say hello. So that's certainly, right. If you have questions, I'm sure you'd be willing to chat with anyone about this.
Totally,
topic,
yeah, totally, man. On,
so. Yep. Well, good. Well, thank you again, Scott. Certainly remember, like, follow, share, subscribe, rate, review. I'm getting pretty good at that little moniker there. We're at Small Business Big World, anywhere you get your podcasts, anywhere on social media. Certainly, if you have questions and want to reach out, feel free to email us at podcast@papertrails.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you again next week. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Small Business Big World. This podcast is a production of Paper Trails. We are a payroll and HR company based in Kennebunk, Maine, and we serve small and mid-sized businesses across New England and the country. If you found this podcast helpful, don't forget to follow us at Paper Trails Payroll across all social media platforms, and check us out at papertrails.com for more information. As a reminder, the views, opinions, and thoughts expressed are the hosts and guests alone. The material presented in this podcast is for general information purposes only and should not be considered legal or financial advice. By inviting this guest to our podcast, Paper Trails does not imply endorsement of or opposition to any specific individual, organization, product, or service.